Hey, fellow traveler, welcome to the Third Eye Awakening podcast, a show where we talk all about spiritual and psychic awakening, magic, the shift from 3D to 5D, starseeds, ascension, multiple timelines, multiple dimensions, the universe, the multiverse, the Akashic records, all the good things. I am your host, Amy Blair, and I'm so glad to have you here with me today. Okay, let's do this. Hi friends, welcome to another episode of Third Eye Awakening. Today is a cool episode because I had on my friend Brandon Thomas. He is like probably my most common repeat guest because we are actually friends and he's just a fucking phenomenal human being. We met through the Tinfoil Hat podcast, the infamous Tinfoil Hat interview that I did, and I just am so grateful. I'm so grateful to Sam for giving me that opportunity, and also I'm so grateful to Sam for unknowingly connecting me with such amazing people, such as so many of you, and also Brandon himself. Brandon is the host of the Expanding Reality podcast. I'm like second guessing myself right now, obviously. Anyway, he is the host of that dope ass podcast wherein he shares amazing conversations with amazing people. He is truly a gifted connector. Like, I don't think I've ever met anybody who has the gift for connecting like Brandon does. He is a magnet to cool people, and he effortlessly connects people with other people, like sort of like catalyzing amazing opportunities and creations and just very cool magic. Anyway, so Brandon is on today to talk about a very, very exciting retreat, I guess you could call it, an event. I'm not sure, an excursion, perhaps. I'm not sure what title they all prefer. I think they're calling it Expanding Reality Excursions. I'm not certain. But anyway, I'm going to go with excursion, but really it's like a retreat. Anyway, he and like some of the people that he's teamed up with are hosting an amazing excursion in May, and so he's here to talk about it. Now, Brandon kind of dove right into the plantinerary, and I feel like there's a little bit of stage setting that wants to happen in order to pique your interest, even if you don't, you know, if you're not in a place in your life right now where I'm not, to go on such an excursion. It is still super interesting to listen to and just exciting to hear what people are up to and like the cool stuff that people are doing with their lives and their time and the cool ambitions that people such as Brandon have. So I got to set the stage a little bit, okay? This excursion is a gathering of an eclectic bunch of very interesting people. Some of them are people that you may recognize from his podcast and just from like, some of them have been on my podcast, like Chris Matthews. But you know, just very interesting, forward thinkers, slightly eccentric by the definition of the mainstream, like just very interesting people is what I'm saying. Like there will be many, many, many interesting conversations that will be had with this bunch of people that is gathering. And they're gathering somewhere in Georgia. I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but it is mentioned numerous times in the episode itself. At a beautiful place called Sugar Boo Farms. And like there are excursions planned, mini excursions within the excursion, like hikes and tours through areas that have been known for high strangeness. It's called Befriending Bigfoot, but you know, it's not restricted to Bigfoot. It's like just interesting high strangeness activity areas. So one of the places is called, it's either Booger Pass. I think it's Booger Pass. Of course, I can't forget the term booger. I'm just like, is it Booger Holler or Booger Pass? I think it's Booger Pass. Booger Alley. That's it. It's Booger Alley. Imagine going on a fucking hike with cool people through Booger Alley, Georgia. And, you know, an area that has been known for very strange occurrences and interesting happenings, if that is up your alley. And then also the thing that I just love about Brandon is, like, he is truly a heart-forward human being. Like, he is not in any of this for himself. We all have our own, like, self-considering motivations, of course. Like, I'm never going to paint any of us out, certainly not myself, and I'm not going to paint Brandon out to be some kind of, like, Christ-like saint when, you know, really we're just humans like everybody else and we got bills to pay like everybody else. But Brandon is truly, like, a heart-led human being. He really does these things because he loves people. He cares. He loves people's consciousness. He likes to bring people together. He wants to make the most out of this life and invite you to join in on the fun. So I hope you enjoy listening to this conversation. Also, I should preface this too. Okay, so we started recording it on a Wednesday. And we were just, like, really getting into the good stuff. And he was talking about how it's not going to be a circle jerk in the woods. And then all of a sudden, my power went out and my internet crapped out and I couldn't get it back. And then so we resumed 2 days later. But it was really funny. It was like Bigfoot was like, "What? No circle jerk? Fuck this." And pulled the plug on the whole conversation. It was really funny. Anyway, so I also want to say, because I don't normally publish my podcast episodes on YouTube, and that's really because I'd like to say I'm lazy, but I'm not lazy. I just, you know, running a business is a lot. There's a lot of moving parts. And I have thought about really, like, shifting my focus to YouTube for a long time. But the truth is, like, the tech side of things intimidates me. And I don't know what it is. If it's my internet connection, it's probably that. But I feel like the quality of my Zoom videos is always crap compared to everybody else's. It's like glitchy and blurry and it freezes. And it's just not good. And I really don't know how to improve my video quality in a way that feels manageable for me, along with everything else that I'm doing. So I don't normally post to YouTube. I just publish my, I think we used to put the audios on YouTube, but mostly we just put the audios on the podcast itself. But this time, because Brandon takes us through the itinerary, through a list of some of the people that are coming, like some of the, like, you know, like the exciting, like, I'll call them famous, but it's like micro famous within a very specific niche, okay? But still, like, the cool people that are coming that you might recognize from some podcasts if you listen to podcasts like that. Like, one of the ones that was really notable to me was David Zed, because he has such an interesting brain and I would love to get him on the podcast. But can you believe it? I am already straight booked out for the whole year. I was booked out on my podcast for guest conversations by mid-January. It is nuts. So I don't know when I'm going to talk to Dave Zed, but I would like to. He's an interesting dude. Anyway, there's going to be some cool people. So Brandon's sharing that, like, he's just screen sharing and he's showing pictures of Sugarboo Farms and just some other cool stuff, the map, so you can kind of see where it's going to be. And, you know, also you get to see our cute faces if you want to head over to YouTube and watch it there. But if you don't, you can just listen, of course. I think that is the intro that I want to give to that. But just, like, I guess, I say this a lot in the episode because I really get it. While he's talking, we didn't speak in advance about it. I had no idea. I just knew it was called Befriending Bigfoot, and he wanted to, you know, like, get the word out about this event. And I was like, of course, brother, you are always welcome on my show anytime. Fucking good people. I love you. But I didn't know anything about it. But as he was talking about it, I was like, damn. If I didn't have, basically, I can't yet go on excursions or retreats because my sweet, precious William still wakes up multiple times a night and he is not, you know, he's not the kind of kid that I can sleep train. Like, there's some deep past life trauma going on. So I just kind of have to be with him through this phase and know that he will outgrow it. And he's starting to, but we're not there yet. So I'm not in a position to travel away from my children. But if I was, you better believe I will be going. I would be going to this one. And they have some future ones planned, and I fully intend to attend hopefully next year when hopefully William is sleeping through the night. Yeah, because number one, I would love to meet you all in person, or like obviously not all of you are going to go to any single event, but I would love to meet a bunch of you in person. I would truly love to. And I don't even need to go as like a featured guest or anything. I would go as a participant, because it just, what they have planned out is so good. And I mentioned on the show how I really am, I love connecting with all of you virtually so much. I am truly mostly a hermit. I'm a hermit first. Like, I love living incognito in the country in Ontario, Canada. Like, nobody knows who I am or gives a fuck who I am at all where I live. I love it that way. But I also do crave like in-person connections, but talking about these things, right? Not, I mean, not like the small talk conversations at the grocery store. I mean, like just sitting around like an air quotes campfire, just fucking chatting. Like, that's what I really miss. So anyway, when he was talking about it, I was like, wow, this is an opportunity of a lifetime. And as he explains, they are not charging, like the amount that they're charging for this is only to cover costs. Like, none of them are profiting off of it at all, which is not like, I mean, that's not how it's going to be forever, because I promise you, like, that's how people get burnt out and quit, because it's not sustainable. But it's amazing that that's what they're doing for this first one. So if you want like the most affordable opportunity to go and actually meet actual people that you would like jive with and have great conversations, you should do so. You should take advantage of this if you can. I know it's coming up pretty quickly. It's coming up in about a month, but still, if you can make it happen, you definitely, definitely should. And if you can't make it happen this time, keep your eyeballs out for what he's doing in the future, because there are other cool ones planned. And I really believe that in a way, like, oh, a lot of this, a lot of our connections are going to be moving off of the internet, not like completely leaving the internet, but we are being called to move into like physical meeting together, because there's going to be so much power in that. Anyways, it's just something amazing that they've planned, and I hope you will listen, even if you know that you're not going to be able to go this time. Or even if you're like, I'm not really like feeling a retreat right now. It's just a funny conversation, and Brandon's amazing. And I find it really inspiring personally to hear what they're up to. Anyways, so that's the show. Please listen. I'm going to give the briefest ever rundown of what I've got going on right now. So I totally forgot to mention last week, actually, when I was recording the podcast episode last week, I completely forgot that I have a workshop coming up, a two-part workshop. It's, the first part is happening on Wednesday, April 17th. So that's next week. And part two, which is the Q&A part, is happening on Monday, April 22nd. And that is the Create Your Spiritual Biz workshop. So I have such a passion for helping other people to see what it is needed to create their spiritual business, like truly needed. There is so much noise out there on the internet, my friends. There's so much noise. And I have been, you know, pulled in some erroneous directions many times. And kind of as I was explaining on the last podcast, conventional business strategy does not always apply to spiritual business. So I feel like I'm one of the people that, not the only one, but I am one of the people that has sort of blazed a bit of a trail here in starting what I really believe is truly a spiritual business. To me, it feels like spiritual service first and above all. But I've figured out a lot of the things that you need to understand in order to make this sustainable so that you can actually help people for a lot, like, and your business has a long lifespan. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't mean help people for a year and a half and then you burn out and you get discouraged and you quit. I mean, like, you can be doing this work for 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and grow something really beautiful that, like, profoundly impacts a lot of people. Even if you don't have any desire to be highly visible, like you don't have desire to start a podcast or like do the whole Instagram game, there's still some important things to understand about creating a business. So I just met with my bookkeeper last night and learned that as of March 31st this year, I have grossed $888,882.87 in revenue in my business, which means, and I kind of knew this, but it's really exciting to see the actual numbers on paper, but which means that I am slated to surpass the $1 million in revenue milestone in a couple months. And I can't really articulate what a big deal that is. It's from somebody who had no idea what she was doing. Fucking no clue, my friends. I had no idea. I had a shit ton of debt when I started, like over $100,000 in debt. I just lived in a little apartment. It was nothing. Like, I didn't have one of those Instagram worthy houses. I was literally wearing Walmart and Joe Fresh. I don't know if you guys in the States have Joe Fresh, but whatever. Like, it'd be like wearing Walmart and Target clothes only, Old Navy. You know, like messy hair. Like, I just looked like a country bumpkin at best and a hobo on my bad days. And I am so proud of myself for what I've created. I'm so proud of my tenacity. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot I didn't know. There's a lot I didn't know. And I have paid tens of thousands of dollars to learn over these last 4 years. And I really am passionate that, like, a lot of this, I don't think I should have had to pay that much to learn it, to be truthful. I don't think it should have taken me that long to learn it, but it did. I don't think you should have to pay that much to learn it, and I don't think it should take you that long to learn it. So the Create Your Spiritual Biz workshop is basically everything that I would have done had I known how to do it. Like, if I could go back and do it all over again, this is what I would implement. It is meant for people who are starting from scratch on a shoestring budget with, like, no baseline knowledge of business, or, you know, you don't even necessarily have experience in corporate. I didn't. There are some really important things to like lay in your foundation to succeed. And I mean, if I had known these things, I could have surpassed the $1 million revenue milestone probably 2 years ago, if not sooner, but I didn't know them. And I'm still proud of myself for how far I've come. I don't want to keep all this to myself. I want to share it with you. And so I have packaged it up in a workshop. It's going to be held live. And also it is very affordable. I heavily price slashed it because, like I said, I do not want to keep these secrets to myself. So check it out. The link is in the show notes. Otherwise, you know, I've got all the other things going that I talked about on the last podcast episode. And don't forget to subscribe to my private podcast, Akashic Guidance for Ascending Souls. The link for all of the things is in the show notes, as well as the link for all of Brandon's things. I don't want to take up any more time in this intro. I want to just get right to our conversation. So without any further ado, hi, friends. Welcome back to another episode of Third Eye Awakening. Today I have our good friend, my good friend, your good friend, Brandon Thomas of the Expanding Reality podcast. Love Brandon so much. And he just had us do a little 30-second, like, called it locking it in. And we just closed our eyes and connected with all of you, and we locked it in. Oh, because Brandon is good people. And he's here to talk to us today about a very exciting event that he has coming up that he is co-creating with some other very cool people. And so welcome, Brandon. So good to have you back on the show, my brother.
Hey, it's so cool to see you. Thank you so much. Thank you, audience. You are all super familiar to me as well, because so many of you reached out and I'm friends with so many of you, actually. So thank you so much. It's a familiar just hang. And it's good to see you. It's really nice. But thank you for asking. Everything's going awesome. The event's going off. It's so exciting. Crazy things happening. Like, the synchronicities abound with this damn thing. So I can't wait to get into it and to catch up with you and see what you've been up to. So this is awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm so excited to hear about it because everybody, just so you know, I don't really know anything about it apart from the fact that it's called the Befriending Bigfoot event, which, you know, it's kind of like a book title. It gives you a hint of what it's about, but there's obviously so much more. But I asked Brandon before I hit record if there's anything that, you know, he wanted me to lead with, and it was to emphasize that this is not, what did you call it? Not a sacrificial What?
Right. Not a sacrificial orgy at all. Like, that's, we're not doing any of that stuff. And it's clearly noted on the plantinary, there has been some speculation that some of that may happen. That is not. We're not starting a cult. That's not a sacrificial orgy. We're legit bringing people together in a really cool way.
I love it. So, okay. So tell us about this non-sacrificial orgy event that is happening, where it is, when it is, what inspired it, who's involved, all the things. Tell us.
Oh God, just all the things. Okay. Well, awesome. Well, and then at this moment, actually, while we're explaining this, we can add some visuals to this for your audio only audience. If you guys check the link in the show description, it'll probably lead you to a video platform. I'm going to speculate YouTube, but if it's over there, let's say that it is.
Oh no, I'm alone. Hold on. Real life.
Okay,
welcome back.
Thank you. We'll pick it up from here, okay? Okay, so y'all check the link in the show description. Here is the website, which you guys can just go find on your own, and I'm sure there'll be linked down below as well, but expandingrealitypodcast.com, and we're going to go specifically to the events section because we have three different features over there: the show, Expanding Reality, our publishing house, Redigional Publishing, which we have seven books in published now, seven hand-done journals that I created, and we can talk about that, but they're on Barnes Noble and Amazon, all of it linked on the website. As well, though, our excursions, which is what is focused on the screen at this time and what we're talking about. Now, this is our Befriending Bigfoot event. We're very excited about this. It is taking place in Blairsville, Georgia, May 15th through the 20th. All maps and things are linked out over there, and we will go over the, we're going to peep the spot here in a minute with the Sugar Boo Farms is what it's called. But I wanted to run down also a few events that we're planting seeds for in the future that you guys can actually go submit emails saying, hey, I would like, let me know when this one's coming up. So we have some stuff, Superstition Mountains, Egypt, you know, Mount Shasta, stuff like that. So if you guys would like to check out some of the upcoming events after this one, check into that as well. This is a huge, it's a whole thing, Amy. It's a whole damn thing.
So exciting.
So we have our plantinary there is to arrive on the 15th. We have a couple of presentations that evening. Trey Hudson, author and speaker, he actually wrote the book, The Meadow Project. He's fascinating. His episode is coming out today on my show. Also, we have Scott and Sheila Granger, who run something called Squatch Fishing Outfitters out there. They are the sweetest, most southern, beautiful accented, wonderful hearted people you'll ever meet. And they're like the cutest little couple that goes out into the woods and leads people out on these amazing Bigfoot adventures. And one of the things is the next day we are going out to one of their spots. It's called Booger Alley, affectionately named by them because little critters out in the southern mountains are called boogers, right? Anything like a cryptid that would be referred to as a little booger. So they have a Booger Alley out there, which we're going to go spend the day out. Pack lunch, come out, more Booger Alley as well. What we have planned with this event and why it's so different and unique is that this isn't you get a laminate card, and if you didn't pay enough for a VIP, you don't get to talk to people. We didn't do that. If you come to the event, in other events, we're separate in the way that, or we're delineating ourselves in the way that there's not going to be people on a stage and then they leave, or if, again, you didn't buy the right laminate or their book, you don't get to talk to them. It's not like that, guys. So we have amazing presenters, 10 on the books for sure, about 15 going to be there that are just going to be hanging out. Amazing people who on their own right, you just want to talk to for days. But we're going to have the entourage effect with this, meaning that everybody gets to hang out with everybody. This is what I would refer to as like an intimate conference. So yes, we do have presentations every evening. There are going to be no more than 45 minutes to an hour each, 2 hours max an evening, because then we're going to go outside. We've got the place, and I'm going to show you guys, it attaches to the Chattahoochee National Forest, which means our backyard is thousands of acres, where we can just go on these Bigfoot excursions in the evenings, as well as we have day hikes in three different states. So we have Georgia with Booger Alley, where we're going specifically with Scott and Sheila to their awesome spot. And then we're doing kayaking in Tennessee. And then we're going on an Appalachian Trail hike in North Carolina, where we're going to be dropped off on one spot, hike all the way down, and picked up at another, all with presentations each evening. So it's outdoors, it's hanging out. You're going to be out there with folks like Alexander Petikoff, Chris Matthew, Trey Hudson. Owen Hunt is an amazing comedian that we have. He is actually going to do a comedy bit, a few, and then come up in a Bigfoot outfit and roast humanity from Bigfoot's perspective. We've also got Dave Baker, who's a contactee. His Encounters episode, if you guys go to Tubi, actually, it's on Amazon, but you can go to Tubi for free and watch it. It's called Encounters. And he is the last two episodes of the first season. It's got Dave Baker, is absolutely incredible. As well as the next night, we're going kayaking in Tennessee, hiking in Tennessee. And then we have presentations from Chris Matthew from Forbidden Knowledge News, filmmaker. His film also, shout out, Occult Louisiana, is available on Tubi for free as well. Tubi's actually crushing it. I don't know if you guys are into that. But they have this amazing documentary who, if you guys find an Easter egg in that, let me know. Reach out to me at expandingrealitypodcast.com when you watch his film, and you'll know what I'm talking about. Okay, so also we have Alexander Petikoff, amazing dude. He does the Bigfoot Beyond the Trail series. He's part of the Little Monsters crew. Absolutely amazing guy, filmmaker. So these two dudes are going to be out shooting for their documentaries as well. So you guys will probably be in some footage coming up to be released on perhaps Tubi, let's say, or better, right? So also we've got then again North Carolina hike on day four, and then we have Les Durant, who does some fascinating things. He sees freaky woo-woo galore around his place and has researched it. We also have then author Preston Dennett, who's one of my favorite authors personally, and he's, you know, I've got some signed books here by him. He is just one of the coolest dudes, written over 32 books on the subject. His phenomena, it's fascinating. So we get to, again, hang out with all these dudes together. And then we're going to head over to the Expedition Bigfoot Museum. There's a really cool museum there. It's got a DNA lab, the largest cast lab, I think, of or collection of any occult museum anywhere. It's just one of the most fantastic museums, ran by a guy named Dave Picara, and we're going to go hang out with him. And then Dave Zed from Generation Zed is going to be out there, and he's going to be hanging out the whole time. So this is the thing, guys. This is a huge hangout just with everybody. So let's do – go ahead, Amy.
I was just going to say, I got to talk to Dave sometime because he has very interesting ideas. But okay, I'm looking at this and first of all, it looks fucking dope. Dope. I am like jealous of everybody who goes. I would love to go. Cannot leave my youngest son yet. He's just not. I went away for one night and he made me pay hell for it for an entire week. But I'm glad to see that you also have upcoming things because this looks incredible. Second of all, maybe that's third of all. Third of all, I'm learning so much about sales just from this conversation. Because really? I'm like, okay, cool. So you're telling us like what's on the menu, which is very important. We do need to know that. But I want to back it up a little bit, Brandon. And I want to know, like set the stage for us and also give us the backstory of how this amazing event even was like birthed as like an idea creation between whomever. Who was in the original room where the idea was birthed and how did it grow from there? And why are you guys doing this? And then also like, what is the vibe in Georgia? Like what, first of all, Booger Alley, love it, would like to come just for that. Oh, but yeah, like what's the atmosphere? Tell us about it. Describe.
This is such a great question. This is why I love you so much. You ask wonderful questions. Thank you. And we will get to, in fact, here, I'll just tell you this, and then we'll get back to the screen sharing, because I'm going to set the scene in Georgia here. So this actually all took place because of, I had a guy named Les Durant on the show. Chris Matthew recommended him, had him on. Amazing dude. He shares screen whole time, shows pictures, videos of all this cool stuff seen in the skies, UFOs, anomalous activity, things like that, in a place called Mineral Bluff, Georgia, which is in very north Georgia. It's 30 minutes from the border of Tennessee, right? So out there in the middle of nowhere, I have this guy on, amazing dude, launch the episode, move on with life. About a week later, I get an email, actually a message on my Facebook account, which I don't have notifications on stuff, so I just have to check it. And that's the rarest one that I check. I check this thing. It's a message from someone named Kristen Bolt. And she said, hey, my partner and I, he's a pilot, and he would like to get a Cessna plane, a little plane, and rent a plane and fly down there with you and Mary and go out in Mineral Bluff with Les and look around in the skies and fly around and maybe rent a cabin for the weekend. This was combined and with the already planted seed of Contact of the Canyon from the Grimerica Boys. We went out there with David Warner Matheson, Ksenia Moore, you know, Brandon Powell, all these folks to Utah. We got invited out to go to them with the with that event, Contact of the Canyons, in April, and that already planted the seed. Like, I'd been doing the show, you know, just over 2.5 years, and I was sitting here saying, like, what's next with this, right? You know, the publishing was going on. I'd been doing the journals. What's next? And so this event type thing, this get amongst them, has always been in my heart. Like, I love people. I'm too animated to be stuck behind Zoom, right? We have too much cool shit. There's too many cool things to go see for us to sit here. Now, I think what this did was facilitate all of us to find each other, right? Sort of the analogy that we grow where we're planted, and really where we are is separate from one another, physically located, if you want to say that. There's not an abundance of people in Millsap, Texas, I know of, that even know that we have a portal generating a plasma charge out of our satellite dish that was retrofitted by a quantum physicist who came up and did that shit. But, and I wouldn't even know who to talk to about it, but you, I can talk to about that, right? And there's people around here, and all of us have grown into these incredibly beautiful flowers. I use the analogy of the sunflowers, the ones that grow like 15 feet tall, but really more, it's like a beanstalk type shit. Because all of us were fertilized with the shit of our trauma, of our immediate environment, where, again, we were physically separate from one another, what we would call each other, this, right? And from that, though, that fertilizer fertilizes into these beautiful flowers that now we can all see each other. And this was a beautiful way to connect with those who now we can see, oh, you're a beautiful tall flower. You were forged out of the same fire as I was. You have these traumatic things. We have a lot of interests. Yes, mysterious things are mysterious. I think so, too. Things like that, that now we can say, okay, well, let's get from behind the computers and behind the, you know, apps and things like that and go get amongst each other. You know, this is what the conferences have always offered anyway. It's not money making, you know, per se for anyone doing this. I think that really the incentive is then to just invest in something else. But I will say this about this project. I invested my personal money in some merch. We have tons of stickers and stuff that we're doing, patches. These glow in the dark, by the way. And all of that kind of stuff that I'm giving you guys just for coming to this thing. But other than that, we are making nothing. None of the presenters are making anything. We have railed the cost all the way down as much as we can just to host the damn event. And the thing about that is that it's not a sustainable model for a business, right? But that's not the point. The point is to get everybody together and to show at our best effort what we can do with this if we really try. But it's going to take people signing up for this and saying, we will really try to show up for this as well. Now, when that occurs, that's where the magic happens. That's when we take these beautiful plants that have been fertilized in the shit of our immediate areas that is separate, and we decide that we've developed a UFO under those beautiful flowers, and we fly them together, and we land in this amazing garden. And this is where you create the magic, but it takes all of us. This is about also the reinvestment of energy, right? It's about you taking off all the extra shit that you would have done for Netflix or for an extravagant, ridiculous thing that you're not going to fucking need, and invest it in something you want to do, which is an experience-based endeavor. Now, this as well translates into bigger ramifications into your whole life, right? When you start readjusting your energies into different places, everything changes. And what's great about this event, our whole goal here is to create a safe environment for ideas to grow. Now, with that, you have everything that's being presented here. And again, I'm going to show you the spot. I'm going to show you all of this, but just know this. All the prices have been railed down. We make nothing on this damn thing. I honestly would love to be able to handle these presenters' cash for them doing this. All of them are doing it out of the goodness of their heart. All of them just want to be a part of this amazing event. But the thing about it is also, we are open to receipt. So if you would like to come out and just blow out all of these tickets or donate or something like that, then that is not going to go without being seen. But what I will say about this, again, because costs associated with something like this is something I didn't know going into this. And when you really jump into this, you're like, holy shit, you know, this is wild and amazing and beautiful. But the way that all of this worked out with everyone pitching in and throwing in to make this energetically happen is what's been so fascinating. Bands coming out of the woodwork. There's a guy named Josh Cutchin who actually lives out there near there. He's one of the coolest authors you will ever meet. He wrote this, Where the Footprints In. And I know some of your audience will look at this cover and go, holy shit, I know that guy. Yeah, he's going to be there signing and just handing out books, but we're not advertising it. You know, he's not on the bill, but the dude's just going to swing through. I know Ben Carroll's coming by. I think Christopher the Astro Medium. People are in the area just going to pop through. So you never know with this, what this gravitational effect is drawing into itself. And so with the activities, it's very nature-based, right? But also we want to make sure that you know that we have an amazing space that if you don't even want to leave the ranch for the whole time you're there, cool, don't. You know, we'll come see you for the presentations later, right? And It's an awesome opportunity, like I said, to get amongst them. That's the whole point here. Get amongst them. Like, get out from behind the computer, and know though that you are also worthy to come hang out with Dave Zed and Trey Hudson and all of us, because we want to meet you. Like, we're done with this commenting on videos and stuff. That's cool, you know, but let's make the videos together and then tell people about how we made it and let other people comment on those and encourage them to come hang out with us next time. So this is the scene. This is the intimacy of this, what we're all about here.
That's amazing. I love how like truly I can feel from you that you're like, I literally just want to meet with cool fucking people and hang,
That's it.
which I think is so beautiful, Brandon. That's one of the best things about you. That's why you're such an amazing connector. Like you guys possibly don't know. I don't know. If you follow Brandon and you kind of watch and you listen to his podcast, then you probably know. But for me behind the scenes, like Brandon collects amazing people. He magnetizes them and then he makes connections between people that need to meet each other. And his brain works like a bajillion miles a minute. It's wild. So I think this is incredibly, incredibly beautiful. And I also feel like I really am getting a sales in or a PhD in sales from this conversation. Because I'm
Well,
like,
sales would be, hey guys, we're making a ton of money. You know, let's make money on this. Because this is, again, I'm admittingly saying this is a shit business model. And we're not, you know, I'd like to, again, be able to hand people a lot of money by jacking up the price. But again, that's not what we're doing. And all of the presenters are in line with this as well.
well, okay, but then I'm curious, is this the model for this first round? Because this is the first one, and you're like, I just want to invite you all in like this for this first one. This is really not about profit. This is about like coming together and creating something magical. And then in future live events are going to be at a profitable, sustainable price point.
What we are doing is displaying the most amount of value maxed out for ROI in the immediate return on my end. But what I will say is what I do see and what I do not mind and happily invest in is the willingness to put something forth in that capacity so that people take a chance on it. And the whole point here then is to grow that value into something that is monetarily expressed in other ways. Now, this again attracts, you know, sponsorships. We would like to be able to sponsor these things where maybe they're free. Maybe we do giveaways with this where it's based on a number of whatevers you guys, you know, share, right? Whatever hashtags. And then we just send you a free plane ticket, a free event ticket. Like, this is where this scales for me. But logistically, what that means is it needs to become so valuable that people are willing to trade the energetic value needed to make that happen. My goal here is to show, here's what I've got. It's all on the table. We have called in a ton of people on this thing and offered as much value as we can to this to say, you guys meet us in the middle on this. Now, from there, that attracts everything else. And I see this as a big scale stair step up. And that's why the prices are the way that they are. This is against good practice. This is against Darren from Grimerica. He sat down with us for an hour call and we told him, hey, you know, here's what we got. Oh man, you got a this over you because things are always going to happen. And I don't doubt that. And I'm not disagreeing with anything he said. And we tried it and it just didn't work. So we're coming at it with different energy. They are railed down. I mean, railed. We are trusting in the process that this is going to all fall in the way that it needs to. And it will work out and the people will come through. And it's one of those, if you book it, they will come things, which that's the goal here. And yes, then it will scale to all sorts of other things, which eventually we'd love to pay people to do, you know, and this be a sustainable business. But we're putting our foot out there first. We're showing that
Okay.
we're taking the first step.
So then, what I really want to highlight for the people in my audience who are not, don't necessarily have businesses, right? So don't understand. I mean, when you're describing all this to me, I'm like, that's a lot of energy and a lot of expense. And I celebrate you for being willing to make it not profitable in order to invite as
Not
many
immediately
people as
profitable.
possible. Yeah.
Yeah,
But so I want to
not being.
emphasize to the audience, though, is that this is an incredible opportunity. It will not last because it cannot last because Brandon and everybody else involved cannot do this indefinitely. So if you're listening and your interest is kind of piqued and you're like, you know, I've really been wanting to get together. I would love to meet actual in-person human like flesh friends who I can have like crazy
Non-NPCs, yeah.
conversations with. And you vibe with Brandon and you vibe with the people that he has like brought into all this, and you go over the sales page and you're looking at the itinerary and everything, and you're like, I'm vibing with this. And then you look at the price. Listen to me, my friends, because I'm fucking so serious. I am not an affiliate. I'm not getting anything for this. I'm just telling you that this is your chance to get in now. It will never cost less than this, ever. It will never. It like in even if in the future Brandon figures out some kind of wizardry where like there's something else that sustains it, there's sponsorship, whatever, and it can even be free tickets, it won't be like this. It will not be intimate like this. So this is your one chance to get in on this and do it, because human beings can't just give this stuff away without receiving enough of an energy exchange that it creates overflow, which then allows it to generate more and more and more. Okay. I just really want to emphasize that so people hear and understand that this is the time to get in. It's not a manipulation. He's opening up his whole heart, giving all of his energy to make this possible, but the price will never be lower than this for this kind of intimate, awesome, dope ass, like backwoods Georgia, North Carolina, Tennessee gathering, checking out Bigfoot.
Dude, you've nailed it with this. And thank you for saying that. And you're absolutely right. As you're saying this, I'm coming to the epiphany that, yeah, that is pretty much the case. And it's an interesting, because, yeah, it's sort of a sales tactic that get in on it now, guys. But it is one of these things. It's very true because they only get bigger from here. Like, I'm not doing a ton of shit that I wanted. We have an extra bag option that we're going to offer with custom merch that we were getting together with Forgotten Youth. And there are custom merch providers and all these amazing scaled up things that we are absolutely looking forward to. But it takes, again, something like this being successful at first to then move us to that next level. And that's fine. If that's what it takes, I've put everything I've got into this and I trust. I'm to a very interesting part, even on this very fascinating other side of this dark night of the soul thing, which we haven't even talked about. Then it was just wild. I have no logical reason to be this optimistic about anything, but I'm choosing that this is the way forward with all of my heart and with no malice intent. And it's a fascinating delineation between putting all in and putting all in. It's a very different surrender. So with this again, there's shitload of amazing things, and I cannot tell you enough about this area. So Kristen and I actually flew out there and met on a scout trip out there for 3 days in January. We met tons of people. We're standing at a coffee shop, local Blairsville, to get some really good coffee for this thing, and that's one of our thing is aligned local partnerships. And we're standing there, and of course, one town over is the Bigfoot Museum. She says, "Oh, you should meet these people. They're really cool." Standing there are a man and a woman. And they are Curtis and Kim, and they are both standing there. She is wearing a Bigfoot shirt from the museum that we're going to go visit with Dave Bricaro down the road in another town that we were at. She's wearing the shirt, and then turns out that that guy standing there was is in the Guinness Book of World Records for one of the fastest guitar players in the world. And these people, Mountain Gypsy Music, are going to come out and play at our thing. They're just going to come hang out with us, just serendipitously. So all of these incredible things have been happening out there. The place itself is riddled with magic. And here is where I'm going to come back to the screen share here. And we'll actually run through a little bit of the physical location that we will be hanging out for a little bit. Now, on the website here, expandingrealitypodcast.com/events, which you can find on the homepage, you can go over here to the information plantinary. If you look here at Peep the Spot, that's how the kids say, take a look at something. This is Sugar Boo Farms. This is where we are going to be gathering. So I'm just going to run through a few pictures as we talk about this here. Again, audio only audience. If you've not hopped over to the video yet, what are you doing? Come on. Come hang
So
out.
cute.
Check that out. This
I
is
love
just the
it.
farmhouse. Yeah. So this is the main thing. Now, this is our backyard out here. Yes, it's 26 acres that you can do whatever you want on with this. But also, there's the forest that attaches to it that we have as our backyard just to do whatever. Now, we've even gone so far as to have private, semi-private options. We've done a lot as far as the delineation on divvying up how folks can sleep. We have some options like this, like I said, semi-private. Also, there is a series of cabins outside, which is going to be the main, I guess, accommodations for everybody out there. But this is the view. This is the place. And it's going to look like this. We're going in May. We're going when it's nice and beautiful out. And one of the cool things about this, too, is we plan to do our presentations each night with projector screens. So those will be have
Oh,
visuals
so
associated
good.
with. And this is going to be out in this open air area Well, let me show you how it breaks down as well. So at night here, this is where we're doing our presentations. Also has an upper deck to your upper right and a lower deck to the left here that has a pool and a jacuzzi and things like that in it. So you've got this huge fire pit area, presentation area with the big pavilion back here, and then a little spot, and then all of the little cabins are down the hill here, which we'll show you here in just a second. But again, the UFO activity out here is insane. We've also timed this to make sure that it's as close to new moon as we could do it. So it's at the sliver. There's going to be a really, really dark skies out there while we're out there, and then just gorgeous during the day. So the tone out here is whimsy. The mountains are smoky. It's the Southern Smoky Mountains in the Appalachians. It is full of, whimsy. When you go out there, you just feel it. You can stand in any direction and you look out into these woods and you see how something could hide out there. Absolutely. And let's say that it is a hominid, an interdimensional being, something like that. What I would also like to point out is that we are not going out there on Bigfoot hunts. You may notice the name of the event is a Befriending Bigfoot event. We're going out there with the intent to find out more about these creatures in a loving way. Now, we're not going to go jack each other off in the woods looking to do Aleister Crowley rituals to get Bigfoot. It's not that kind of thing either. But what I will say is that we are going to be absolutely hanging out and having a really good time in a very respectful way and all of that. So then these are the cabins here that you have, these little bungalows, I suppose, as they say, and y'all can do whatever you want in those. But what I'm saying is they have single sleeping available for a couple options or anything like that, as well as these, again, semi-private options. So you can get a few friends come down, stuff like that is kind of the goal on this. Coming together, right? So more pictures here. There are animals out there, actually. We've met these goats and donkeys. The donkey is legit as shit. We can validate that. And you know it's Mercury retrograde when we're doing this, right? Like, balls deep, Mercury retrograde. You get the eclipse coming Monday. This is a crazy time to do anything, Amy. You're actually breaking up like crazy. So I'm going to go ahead and recommend that you keep what you have. And then if you, I didn't hear what you said, but I'm going to offer it into it. I heard something about tomorrow. So if you keep what you have, you know, and use whatever you want, and then if you want, I'll wear the same damn shirt, and we can hang out again tomorrow and, like, go into whatever. We could totally do that. I absolutely have time for that.
Well, guys, I mean, to you, there was no interruption. To Brandon and I, it's 2 days later, okay?
Time because, travel.
Yeah, exactly. He was talking about how they're not going to be circle jerking in the woods.
Not planning on it.
The internet completely crashed. So we're trying to decide if that means the spirit of Bigfoot is disappointed and wants a circle jerk, or well, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, just so you're all clear, there will be no circle jerking in the woods as a planned part of the plantinerary. Okay. If you want to do it on your own, if a couple of you want to get together and do it, I'm not going to judge, but it's not on the plantinerary.
It is not. No, ma'am. But spontaneity is. And, you know, go with what you feel. But yeah, it sounds like Bigfoot was not a fan of the fact that we were discouraging or at least planning to not add that. So I don't know. You know, it's this interesting paradox, I suppose. And we'll find out when we get out there. So I'd say it's even more reason to join. Who knows? Circle jerks could just break out. I don't know.
Who knows? And also, this is really about befriending Bigfoot anyway. And part of befriending is learning somebody's preferences, you know, the things that they like, the things that they don't like. So this is all an exploratory experience anyway. Let's find out what Bigfoot is into, what he or she shows up for, and what you know, sometimes just be a random circle jerk in the woods that's not happening on the plantinerary.
Yeah, no. It's an interesting study in the whole venue, and we're here for all of it. Interdimensional, whatever it's coming as, we're here to befriend it in its forms. And so it doesn't need to wear a mask and show up and screen memory us and make us think it's a glowing deer or an owl or something like that and glamour us or whatever. We're really interested in figuring out, you know, what this thing is and figuring out a relationship with it. And there's been just so many fascinating concepts of what it could be, how it morphs, it's blending in with so many other phenomena, the entourage effect, right, with the UFOs present, then Bigfoot activity happens and poltergeist activity. A lot of the activity that happens in Class B sightings of Bigfoots are really poltergeist at best. There's no Bigfoot present, you know, and so it's interesting that they overlay so much and that there's such a wide variety of options to pick from here, which is what's so cool. We're going out into the woods not with the, here's what's going to happen. We're going into the woods with the, holy shit, we have no idea what's going to happen. It could be this, or something better. And we're tacking that or something better on the end of everything. That's been such a massive mantra lately. It implies surrender. It implies that we don't, you know, have it all figured out and we don't have the desire to control. I've got a direction and I'm going to say, I want that or something better. And then maybe something kicks in overdrive, this force, this universe, this whatever, and just says, ah, you said the magic words. That seems to me that abracadabra is or something better, because it implies direction but surrender at the same time. And I can say that whatever shows up is always better, always. And so you just constantly get confidence in that, and confidence is just a series of successes. So just keep that moving. So we plan to be no different at this. It's just going to be applied to the Bigfoot venue, as well as the connection element to everybody getting together and hanging out in this really cool way. If we don't see Bigfoot, fine. This is still one of the most momentous gatherings ever. And that's kind of the whole point. It's just get amongst them. Let's get together. Let's connect.
I'm glad you said that, because since I've had a couple days to noodle on this, I've really been thinking about how, like, really that to me is the attraction. Like, I mean, yes. Granted, I'm not really a Bigfoot person anyway. I have binged a lot of Bigfoot stories on the confessionals, but
yeah,
it's kind of just like light entertainment for me. I'm not like gripped by, like, you know, like the desire to understand Bigfoot or Dogman or anything like that. But even if there was something that was more, you know, whatever, I don't know what it would be, but something equivalent that was more, ooh, seeing fairies. If there was seeing fairies, if it was at like a retreat to see fairies, that would of course be like almost the dangly carrot. But the real reason I would be joining is because I want to meet other people that want to see fairies. I want to talk about those things. I just want to like be in person. And you and I were talking about this. Well, you're amazing. And you've reached out to a whole bunch of us over the last 12 to 15 months, I think, really trying to get these things underway, because we're all feeling the desire to be in person. Like, by necessity, I do everything online, mostly because who the fuck would come to where I live in Ontario, Canada? I'm sure a small handful of people would come, but also I'm a 2-5 in human design, which means that I'm like, also don't come here. I will go to you. But I do very much like crave seeing people and being with people. I'm missing it more and more and more. Every month that goes by, it's like a deeper craving. And eventually, when William allows me to wander a little bit farther than the 10 feet tether that he's got me on, I will be wanting to go see people. So I feel like that is the highlight. Like, who even fucking cares if you see Bigfoot or if you see like things in the sky or creepy things in the woods? That would be dope as shit. But even if you don't, it's like going to the summer camp experience, the sleepaway camp experience that you always wished that you had had when you were, you know, like in your preteens, like all the cool kids. You're going to the cool kids retreat here. That's what it is.
You've nailed it with this. And there's so many things to talk about here. You inspire the shit out of me, by the way. I just love speaking with you, sis. You know, the whole Bigfoot thing to me is more of a metaphor. It's really about embracing and befriending the big step that is next for all of us, which is why this Bigfoot was so metaphorical for me in that way, that this is really a step for all of us, a big step, right? That leaves a massive imprint and that leaves wonder and expectation, right? So the whole metaphor applies strictly to us getting out from behind our computers. I'm saying, you know, 2020 was awesome because it made us realize that there was a lot of places where our energy was going and places that we called human beings around us. And I think a lot of us, whether we'd been going through some sort of magical experience as far as a wake up is concerned or something like that, we're feeling massive shifts before, but that triggered everything. That was the avalanche. We can all see it. What was interesting in that as well is the sociological study that implied that you actually weren't surrounded by people like you at all. And that when your tastes change, immediately your environment changed. Now, what was nice about sort of the, I guess, absence of humanity in that time was everybody was encouraged to go home. And we've talked about this time as shadow work. Some people drank themselves to death. Some people quit drinking and started writing their book. So this is like this, that was the real shift and split. And what it did then was just break everybody off to behind screens. Then we were able to really connect. We had some extra time. People weren't commuting to work. They found 2 extra hours in their day where they could sit online and connect with people or listen to an extra podcast or discover one or start their book. And with that came motivation to connect. That you may have read a book about the Southern Appalachian Mountains and how wild those stories are. And then all of a sudden, this guy's presenting an opportunity for you to go to said mountains, hike in 3 different really high activity areas with the people who study this stuff in person. It's no longer books, guys. It's real. It's you are now part of the stories that will be written in these people's books and part of the documentaries that will be here. And who knows what kind of assets and talents and wonders you could bring to this environment that then just enhance the process for everyone. That's what this is about. It's a big step forward. You know, we're interested in a ton of shit. That's what Bigfoot means to me. It's us saying, okay, well, we're going to take this giant leap forward for mankind kind of thing, but legit. And we're going to really show up for it and connect. And that's what it's all about. So yes. And what's ironic about it is it'll probably yield the craziest, most interesting phenomena that may be then a beacon. Is these dudes attract the phenomena. For some reason, at the expanding reality excursions, shit goes down. But it's exceptional in that it's not terrifying and that it's very interactive and it sets new tones and adds new elements to these stories, right? And with many witnesses engaging in similar connection activities. So it's a fascinating, interesting study into that, yes, the intention is not to capture, to hunt, to figure out the old meaning of. It's to get together. It's to talk about these things. There are way too many concepts to entertain here than to just say, this is what it is and here's what we're going to find. Let's just go walk around in the woods and see what happens. Like, let's see if beacons, people are beacons for this kind of stuff. Mary, by the way, is going in through the second course of Ksenia Moore's astrology class. Based on My Dark Night of the Soul, it turns out it was all astrological. Threw her balls deep into astrology. Now she's crushing it at this. I'll get her, send us your stuff so she can check your chart. It'd be awesome. She has noticed very fascinating things in that if a certain amount of planets are in somebody's house, 12th house specifically, that in certain type and certain number, they are far more prone to freaky woo-woo activity. Now, let's say that we notice that there are a few of these people in our group. Maybe we invite all of them out at once. And these people are now magnets for high strangeness is what it would be called because they're astrologically predispositioned to be so. You can prove this. You could see it. It's fascinating. So anybody who has their chart they'd like to send in or whatever, Mary would love to take a look at it because we're adding new data points to this kind of thing as well. It's interesting to think that maybe your astrology or your blood type have a lot to do with the area in which you walk in and maybe you activate something. Everybody's talking about these activations, right? And your physical presence, I think it's referred to as grid work. Maybe that's it's all the same damn thing. It's just you getting your ass out from where it is to go move energy around. And when you show up, it's like a, what was that game? Pokemon Go, that you got to be like in the area for it to happen, right? And so maybe when you're in the area, this once in a lifetime Pokemon shows up in the form of Bigfoot or some cryptid. And you're just like, holy shit, guys, check that out. But it was you that triggered it. And you never know, right? So this is another part of these data points that we're pulling all together. And I really feel it has to do with all of us getting amongst it, whatever that means. But really, ultimately, like you said, Amy, it's about connection. It's to show you that you're not alone and that you did the work. So show up for yourself and feel worthy because you are.
Totally. And make friends. Like, because I hear from the people in my community all the time that they just feel really isolated still. Yep. And I'm bummed out because, you know, I totally get it. Like, having connections with people online is an amazing first step. And it's literally like I selfishly created this because I was lonely as hell. And I was like, I cannot be the only person out there who thinks about these things, talks about these things. I want to meet other people. So I'm just going to start the community. And it's been amazing. And I'm personally like super fulfilled by it. But I also really understand that sometimes that doesn't do it for people. Like also my husband, I can talk about these things. Like he, you know, he talks about weird pocket dimensions and shit all the time. So we're not 100% on the same page with everything, but I don't have to like closet myself so that he doesn't get triggered by me talking about weird shit, which is wonderful. But a lot of people feel like that, like constantly closeted, like they can't actually talk about the things that they want to talk about because other people will lose their minds. And it's sometimes you just need to go make friends too, like real living, breathing friends that you can like, you know, you can, not suggesting you do this, but you could reach out and poke their face and hit flesh, you know, like there's just something kind of comforting about that. Like, oh, it's not in my imagination. It's not only in this alternate reality that we call the internet. It's in my manifested physical now moment reality.
Absolutely nailed. Absolutely nailed. This is the thing. It's make it real. You know, we're talking about manifestation. We talk about making things happen. You talk about making big moves. Well, here it is. Recognize it for what it is. It's like that story of the signs that you get, right? And this is an old biblical or a God story, but the flood comes, guy's sitting on top of the house, boat comes by, he goes, no, I'm waiting on God. God's going to send something. They go, okay, and swim on. Helicopter comes by, he says, no, thanks, I'm waiting on God. He's going to send something. Okay, bye. And God never came, guy drowns, goes up to heaven. God goes, dude, I sent you fucking boat, helicopter. What are you talking about? So there's right. These obvious things in your environment also that beckon for you to go take advantage of them. And they're right here. And it's that simple. It may not be as freaky woo-woo as walking through a portal or Archangel Michael coming down to you and tapping you on the shoulder about it, but it may be as simple as, hey, here we go. Here's an opportunity. So if you feel called, probably listen to that.
Yeah, but like totally exactly what you're saying is it's very seldom that overtly freaky woo-woo. I mean, that's the whole thing that I'm trying, like, it's my passion when I am teaching people to connect with their psychic abilities and things like that and expand their spiritual experiences. I'm like, it doesn't hit you over the head with a 2x4. It doesn't do that. It's so subtle that it's happening to you pretty much every day and you don't even notice it. You don't, because you don't realize that's what it is. Just like that little story that you told about guy waiting for God to come help him. It blends into reality in a way that generally feels, I don't know, like it, basically what I understand, this is kind of a tangent, but I'm going to say it anyways, is the reason that people don't realize they're having psychic experiences is because we have a filter system, which thank God we have a filter system. That's what keeps us alive. We want to be dialed into the here and now. That's what we want. But that filter system takes its job very seriously. It is to keep us alive and it's to filter out distractions and like help us focus on what's important. Your unconscious mind may have different ideas about what's important than your conscious mind does. And if your unconscious mind is holding a lot of trauma, which all of ours is, then it will filter out a lot of things. And the only things that squeak through are things that do not overtly trigger your perception of reality. And then people who have sort of psychological breakdowns, some for whatever reason, their filter stopped working, drugs or like brain chemicals or whatever, and they have an experience that counters their perception of reality, and then they have a breakdown because it's too intense. So let's celebrate the fact that our filters are working well and start to notice the little cool things that come in. And notice that like the miracle sometimes is meeting that person at this retreat. Like that is the fucking miracle. The person that now you can just talk to. Now your creative juices are flowing. Now you're getting like all these like cool ideas and cool downloads and whatever. And it at the same time feels as mundane as just going to a retreat and meeting somebody that's super cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Now let's talk about some of those super cool ideas. You mentioned fairies earlier and fairy rings. You're familiar with fairy rings, right? In the forest. Yes. Okay. You get the mushrooms and everything like that. Now, super interesting dude from a show called Cryptids of the Corn, Justin. He and I were speaking the other night on his show. Oh my God, this dude went off on some fascinating theories. So let's talk about a couple. Fairy rings could be mushrooms, right? As a consciousness coming together to form a power center that then emits an egregore. And maybe this is a literal portal that the consciousness that is the mushroom itself, that is a consciousness, can then project its own egregore in the same way that humans can call up seances or use homunculi or anything else to their advantage. Maybe any sentient creature, dolphins, manatees, mushrooms, anything like that, can then therefore generate an egregore or a figure to walk around or float around. Maybe this is what leprechauns, fairies, any of the fae, things like that are, would be these mushrooms manifesting a spirit. Because what do those things do? They usually either scare or freak off or entice people to come hang out. Now, in the case of psilocybin mushroom, that is fascinating to look at it like a consciousness itself, because then if it is producing these egregores that then pop up, because they vanish, right? They vanish in thin air. Bigfoot could be one of these things as well. They vanish in thin air. They play with you. There's often an either scaring you out of the woods if you're of a certain vibration, right? Because then they don't want you trampling on them, which is their consciousness itself, which is in the ground, which they are very vulnerable, right? Just sitting there, somebody just come wipe them all out. Now, then also it could be an egregore to entice people to come in. In the case, again, of psychoactive mushrooms, I think that they kind of, once you imbibe in these things, they change your perception in a way that they sort of ride along with you for the rest of it. And you change the way that you think. A lot of people who, again, psychonauts are very interested in keeping the environment tame and keeping it safe and not deforestation and stuff. So taking care of the environment in which the mushrooms thrive is a priority to people who imbibe in mushrooms. So is that on their own accord, or is that in accordance with the influence of the substance or consciousness itself? So then if we're not disempowering anything around here, then why the fuck couldn't it just create an egregore? Maybe it's all formed out of spores in some way that they're able to control, manipulate, form into something that then can relate in reality, manipulate, leave physical trace evidence, little branches, hairs, footprints, things like this, and then vanish like nothing. Sort of in Josh Cutchin's book, Where the Footprints End, tons of stories of things like this, where footprints will be walking out in snow and then just vanish. What's that all about? Maybe it's that the, I don't know, manatee that was projecting the image of the Bigfoot to walk across the field to go see what it was like to be on land, because it couldn't do that, but it very well can create an egregore to go do it for him. Maybe it just got done with it or sneezed and lost the power to keep its mind concentrated on that thing and it vanished, or it got seen and didn't like that, or maybe it got hit by a boat in Florida and then that dematerializes the egregore it was projecting in Washington. There are fascinating concepts about this realm we haven't even touched the surface of. And so when you start considering things like alternate entities around here creating egregores of their own, like we're capable of doing, then it becomes a much more interesting place.
Oh, totally. That is such a fascinating theory. I love it so much. Yeah. Also, I would love to touch a little bit on the gridwork piece that you mentioned earlier too, because I think a lot of people are feeling called to do gridwork, and you don't necessarily realize that's what it is, right? Because your conscious mind doesn't have to necessarily be a participant in order for the thing to happen. We just wish it could be, a lot of us anyways. But what I'm seeing a lot of is that people are just really feeling called to go somewhere, to go to a location either on holiday or even passing through or taking a detour. Like, you know, they're driving somewhere, they're going on a road trip, and they feel really compelled to take this detour that really doesn't make a lot of logical sense. They can justify it because that's what the mind does, but it's a kind of a weak justification. Or people are just feeling called to move somewhere or something like that. And it's, to me, what I'm seeing with grid work is either they are going to like almost deliver an activation to the land, like contribute their energy in some important way to the land, or they are being called to go and receive an activation from the land. And I've also seen, this is super cool, I've also seen that a lot of us are keepers of stargates. Like we are living stargates, but most of us are not stargates on our own, but actually we form constellations together. And so as we get called to go to certain areas, like we just, and it's not even about having some ritual and being in a circle or anything like that. It's like the coming together and the configuration that our internal, our internal star creates with the stars of other people, that creates like a constellation pattern and activates a stargate that's usually localized on the earth. But it can even affect a stargate that's not in the physical area that you are. Like, do you know what I mean? Like so people could be drawn to this retreat and unknowingly be part of this stargate activation, but it's affecting a stargate in Machu Picchu.
God, I love talking to you. Yes. And then if you think about that, maybe your spirit guides, anything, your entire life was to guide you through synchronicities, through interests, through redirects, through tragedies, to get you to be at this geographical coordinates at this time. You know what I mean? There was, when I did DMT last year, I had this strong feeling that whenever I went into the experience, there was a bit of it. So I took these five huge rips. I think we talked about it. It was just massive. And then just shot off. And then in the middle of the thing, had three more and just kept it going. But in there, I had this strong sensation that I'd made it somewhere and that it was perfectly timed and that there was a strong chance that I would have chosen not to go do it and not been there. Number one, to be in the place to do it, but then also to choose to engage in the action, sitting in the physical chair, facing the direction I was, down to all that kind of shit. And it had nothing to do with the people I was with, anything. It's just that it was important that my physical vessel and consciousness anchored itself to that point in that way and had this experience. In the same way, what you're talking about, what if like your spirit guides or whatever, its whole job is to lead this ant that is you down in the maze through the maze. And really your destination is sort of to get out from behind these screens. You've already shunned the old you, right? You've shunned the old perceptions, the fears, all of that. you've still got more things to conquer, and that's not the point. The point is you've shredded that which no longer serves so that you can lighten your load, right? Travel light, travel far. And you've gotten a lighter load now, and you are called as fuck to go to these places. That's what's so fascinating about this. Maybe your whole goal was to go to Mount Shasta at this certain time, and maybe we just happened to be throwing an event there that time, so it works out. You don't know why you're called, but when you show up, all of a sudden, like you said, portal opens in Machu Picchu, Mayans come back, Quetzalcoatl's kicking around or something like that. Who knows? But I love this idea of constellations, because then you have this entourage effect of multiple spirit guides working with multiple ants in the maze, let's say, from that perspective, that high up, right? And they're guiding these entities to be in these positions, like a marching band, right? You know, when they form those fucking patterns on the ground or whatever. But it's awesome. And then also it's cymatic at that point as well, too, because now there's a visual representation of this audio frequency that it took you as the individuated string of frequency, that little to get your ass out there to form that chord, that vibration. Fascinating, Amy. I love this.
Yeah, it's so interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, okay. So I would love to hear, like, can you sort of walk us through the vibe of a day on this retreat? So it doesn't, like, you can walk us through the itinerary part, but I'm kind of talking about like the vibe. Like, you showed us the beautiful Sugar Boo Farm, is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
That it's yep. being like that, you know, you're staying at like the central hub of the retreat, although there are excursions off the farm. But like, basically what I'm saying is like, take us there. Just like, oh, what it would feel like to be there for a day.
Yeah. So we went on this scouting trip, and it was my first time to the area. I'd been to Georgia, just not to the area. Driving around out there, insanely gorgeous. There's fuck all for traffic. It's beautiful. We're not doing one of these like in downtown Chicago. We're doing them in the middle of nowhere where it's beautiful and amazing. So the scenery is already set for isolation, right? It's an environment in which also that there's no neighbors around to judge you if you're wanting to play some drums or if you want to, I don't know, run around, do whatever you want, right? So there's a lot of freedom involved in the area and the isolation in itself, okay? Now to that, you add all of the interests coming together here. There's no one going to be out there judging you. There's nobody going to be like, oh, well, that's a dumb idea or a theory. And I just don't see that resonating in the environment we have, especially with anyone that we have as far as presenters go. Now, here's the other thing on that too. The presenters we have lined up are, yeah, they're presenters, but the whole point is their vibe as well. You know, I'm going to get up and talk, but I'm least looking forward to that. Like, that's the least thing I'm looking forward to. It's waking up in the morning. You've got the misty off-gassing of the trees, which I found out the other day, fun fact, Justin as well. Do you know why they do that?
Why?
So the mist in the Smoky Mountains or any tree, rainforest, things like that, is the larger trees off-gassing, pulling the water up from the root system because their babies are drowning. The baby trees around them, their young grandkid trees are all drowning, and they're saying, hey, we need some help. It's too much water. So anytime you see that, those larger trees are off-gassing it and venting it out so that it can move on and suck the water away from the little baby trees that grow. Now, it's also common knowledge that in that family, when the grandfather of the tree dies, it then sends all of its nutrients to its babies, and those are the ones that grow up like crazy. So think about like removing trees around other large ones next time you do, right? So this interesting phenomena is occurring all around you all the time. So you have the reverence in nature to take care of its own all around you. You also have just the fact, again, that it's isolated, the evening skies being so dark. So you've just sat out all night, or when you wake up in the morning early before sunrise, you're still going to get some phenomenal views and some amazing experiences with this misty off-gassing experience. And as the sun comes up, it all burns off. Beautiful. We're going when in spring. So the April showers have already brought the May flowers. We're going to be there with that. And with the pollinators out, with the abundance of fragrance in that wilderness, that's the thing. You walk out to the sweet smells of all the blooming flowers. You're getting smacked in the face by pollinated butterflies as they're swimming by on their way because they're in such abundance. You then, you know, get a tap on the shoulder from Chris Matthews saying, hey, we're making breakfast, dude. You want any, you know? And then you're like, yeah, let me finish up this conversation and coffee with Alexander Petikoff. We were just talking about something we think we saw over there that we're going to grab cameras and go investigate. We're going to go look for footprints. It's that vibe, you know? Oh, yeah, let me roll a couple before we go, right? You also have our staff, basically, or we don't call them caterers, we don't call them staff, they're improvisers. So what's nice about these dudes is they do everything. You've got Oliver May show up in a cat suit with his two little dogs there dancing outside with two spatulas cooking you eggs and rolling you joints the whole time. There are an abundance of incredibly vibed people going out there. So the the thought of anybody sitting here thinking of that they're going to be judged or that they're not good enough or anything like that, that is, this is the least environment for this. All of that is shed at the mailbox outside, which there's a long driveway to drive in. So you've got plenty of time to incorporate this into your mantra as you head down the drive. It's the place to really be yourself and to not feel that what you're interested in is stupid or dumb or going to send you to hell. It's really important to get these people all together. And then as the day progresses, now you've got everything you need to go. We're gearing up. We've got water. We got snacks. We got fresh fruits from all the vineyards around here. We've got partnerships with a few folks where we are going to bring fresh produce local from the area, peaches, apples, things like that. Grab as much as you want when you're there. Take them out on the trail. Absolutely. We're packing lunches and we're going out. Everybody hits the vans. We get on the road. The drive there full of fucking whatever kind of music and awesome conversation you want in the vans. We also will get to these locations, hop out, stretch it out, get it centered, and then head out for investigating. It's still fresh. It's still early morning. You're still going to see some off-gassing from the trees and probably some, I mean, an abundance of wildlife for damn sure. So deer, I mean, all sorts of varmints, all sorts of stuff's out there. So you've got this constant immersion in nature. And that's really the point, is to get grounded, get amongst it. If you find yourself in amongst a lot of concrete, this is not that. It is very nature-centered, and we are out there to do it. So hiking clothes, you know, all of those kind of things. But again, if you're not interested in the activities, you just sit back at the magic place and do whatever you want all day. There's a fascinating amount of things to do there. So then we go hiking. We eat lunch on the trail. We're talking about all the crazy cool stuff that we're doing, maybe setting up trail cams, maybe talking about the next part of the hike and hearing about, oh, yeah, on this next part of the trail, though, here's where this, this, and this happened. And you've got the people out there who do this, sitting there doing it. You're not reading it or trying to misremember it from a documentary you once saw, whatever. These are the people that do it, and they're telling you all about it. Here's the photos they have from the time that they're talking about. Then, you know, we load up, amazing visceral experience. We head back to the ranch there. We have an amazing dinner that Oliver and Tori and all everybody is already ready to prepare, ready to give you. And then we sit down for two one-hour presentations that are going to be streamed live. So everybody who can't show up will be able to participate. And then we're going to shut that down and then get our asses back out to the woods or lay out and look at the stars for UFOs or just connect and tell awesome stories or play some music. I'm going to be bringing my guitar. We're going to be having drums and things like that out there. And then you could stay up as late as you want because no one's going to tell you when to fucking go to bed. We're just going to say, hey, the van's leaving in the morning at this time and you guys enjoy yourselves and whatever y'all want to do. And then we wake up the next morning and do it all over again with something else to look forward to, a new presentations. And maybe this morning you're having coffee with Scott and Sheila. And now you guys are talking with Preston Denon. How fascinating it is that, yes, there is that correlation between Bigfoot and UFOs. I never thought of that. And these are the conversations you just kind of walk up onto with your cup of coffee. And that's what I'm excited about is this. It's the blending in. It's the, oh my God, I never heard about it. Can I put that story in my next book? Can I interview you for my next documentary? Absolutely. It's that. You know, it's these things where some folks may feel that this is over there and that they're over here. It's not so. It's not so. It's only so because you choose to feel that it is so, right? This is what is for you. This is what this is all about. And this is where we're going. And you're open-armed and welcomed. So come enjoy. You know, if this sounds like something you'd be interested in, we're here for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that picture you painted. It just sounds so beautiful. And also I want to point out too, that just based on the pictures of Sugarboo Farms, there's also a lot of space and opportunity. Like if you're somebody who, if you're a 2-5 in human design, meaning that you're like an extroverted introvert or an introverted extrovert or whatever. So like you love people enough to go to a retreat, but also sometimes you're like, whew, like I need to just be in my own energy. There's like all this nature, all this space. And even if you have a shared room, like, first of all, there are private room options, but I'm sure that's like a, you know, you pay more for a private room because it's a kind of a luxury. But even if you have a shared room, there's like all these spaces to go and just take a breather and just be in nature and just chill out. So it's also not like you're just on top of each other and like thrown into a group of people that you don't know, triggering your social anxiety. If you're in my audience, which you are, if you're listening to this, then like you're probably highly empathic and very, very sensitive to other people's energy. So there's a lot of supportive space to go and like discharge that and come back to center and just take your moment for as long as it needs to be to sort of like, yeah, just be well within yourself. So it's like I think it's beautifully curated, basically. What I'm like, we were going through the plantainary. It feels like there's a lot of fun stuff to look forward to, as you said, but it's also not obligatory. And it's also not like jam-packed. Like, it's not this really intense vibe of like, and now we're doing this, and now we're doing this, and now we're doing this. There's spaciousness, but there's exciting, adventure-y stuff. And then in the location itself, there's like lots of opportunities to mingle with people and just like friendly vibes and open arm welcome energy, like you said, but also opportunity to go and be in your own energy if you need that.
I'm so grateful you said this. Because, yes, it is a, if you'd like to participate, we have fun activities. But also, it's a, the ultimate purpose of this is, honestly, and this is probably our motto, a safe place for ideas to grow. And if that includes you fucking off to the woods in a tent and you just want to do that and we never see you, cool. If you want to, come up for food and then wander back out like a hermit in the woods, fine. No one is going to pressure anyone to get in the van and, oh, why didn't you come? And, oh my God, you should have. None of that shit. You're going to hear exciting stories from the adventures, know that. But also, there's going to be no peer pressure in any form or fashion. No one is peer pressured to do anything here. The value asks are clearly exchanged. Everything that you get is clearly articulated. There's way more to experience other than what's articulated there. I can absolutely say that with certainty. I'm an under promise, over deliver guy. I know that. So, what I have promised will be delivered plus. So, that's for damn sure. But also, like you said, if people just want to take this as an opportunity to do a writing retreat, maybe you bring your stuff out and film your own documentary. Maybe you never want to leave the place, and maybe you want to go bring your car, rent a car, and go in your own and go off somewhere else while we go somewhere and then meet us back later. Like, all of this is open and flow. We have day passes available, so no one's committed to sort of like, oh, well, I got to commit this much to go this amount of time. No. We have made this, like I said, as available as possible. Yes, you get independent. If you want the most luxurious option we can offer, absolutely, we have that. But if you'd also just like to bring a tent for a day, we have that too. And this is what's so important about this. Frank Jacobs said this on a show with me, and it just stuck with me, man, is to create a safe place for ideas to grow. And if nothing else, that's what my show has been about. And we've talked about sort of your reverence for this as well, our non-judgmental nature. First of all, it comes with the hubris of thinking that I know everything. Fuck, I don't. So there goes that out the window, right? Therefore, I don't know what's best for you. I don't know what you're interested in. But what I'm going to offer is something really cool, and you take advantage of what you like, take what resonates, leave what doesn't, right? But then also to this, it's opened up such an incredible world to be this way, because then there's no, I know what's going on, so therefore my job is to prove you wrong. And therefore you're not defensive and thinking that you're constantly on guard or needing to defend your position. There's none of that shit. Tell me how you feel. Tell me what you've experienced. I'm in one part of the cave with a tiny flashlight. You're in another part of the cave with another flashlight. You're telling me what you're seeing. I'm not over there, and I trust what you're seeing. I trust the impact it's making on your life. So again, for this to be an area in which you can just come tell your story and have a sandwich and leave, okay, we're here for that. I'd love to hug you. And that's really what it's about, is just to let folks know that they have a safe place for their ideas to grow in whatever capacity they would like to utilize that.
Brandon just wants to hug you, either
I just want to
physically
hug
or
you. That's it.
energetically.
I'm
He just
a
wants to
fucking
meet you and
hugger,
hug
man.
you.
I'm a goddamn hugger for sure. So be ready for that. You need to wear a shirt that says, don't hug me, or put a pin on or something, because it's coming. You're getting one.
It. So good. Okay. Is there any, like, do you have any final thoughts or any piece of information that we didn't summarize or cover that feels really important to share with everyone?
Just how awesome you are and how great this is. And yes, we will be bringing one of these damn things to you. I mean, this is just the first. I mean, the first of many for damn sure. But like Amy said, I would take advantage of this, because this is going to be the most radical. This is just not one you're going to not want to get the patch for, right? To that, though, to say that this is the next. True leaders don't say follow me, they say I'll go first. And that's sort of the point, right? It's I'll go first, guys. I'm putting everything on the line here. We're doing it as cheap as absolutely possible with the maximum amount of value. I'll go first. Meet us out there. With you as well, Amy, you've cultivated such a beautiful audience that's able to receive messages like this and say, you know what, there is a home for me, rather than it's hopeless. And that's the point here. It's not a fucking hopeless. There's a lot of weird shit here, right? But the point of that weird shit was to direct you to us, which, yeah, we like to talk about how weird the shit is and laugh at it. And take the fear and teeth out of it, because it's just a fucking archon. It's just a lizard turd. We have t-shirts reflecting how silly they are. And it's that environment that you can build your confidence in you and being authentic. And that's what this is about. Now, that is scary to some people, but know that we know that that's scary for people. So there's already a consideration of openness here. And you do this with your guests. You allow people to really be themselves, to be authentic, and that empowers others to be authentic as well. And my God, when you put us all physically in a constellation together, ooh, I mean, that's what these archons or these lizard turds or whatever, air quotes, fear, but I think wink, wink, are driving us to. And I think that that's what this was all for, was for this next step, is to get these energetic crystals together. Because think about this. None of us were, we all grow where we're planted. None of us have been in the capacity of this together. Think of what a capacitor is. And then you think of the capacity of all of us getting together energetically on these spots. And I don't know why we picked fucking Blairsville, Georgia, okay? There's Blue Ridge, there's Tennessee right there, there's all sorts of areas, but we found it was this, and it was easy, and it was boom. It was so simple, but I don't know why. I haven't over-scrutinized why. I'm looking forward to going out there and finding out why, but I think it has a lot to do with us getting all of our energetic magic asses together in a ploppable area, you know, in a pinpoint on a map, and I think some real shit's going to happen. Like you said, portals opening, all kinds of stuff. And the fact that we've been separate has been the only barrier that's been holding that shit back. Now think about that. It's not something that's going to come from the sky. It's you getting your ass out of the couch in Boise, Idaho, and getting your fuck ass out to Blairsville, Georgia. Maybe that does it. Maybe it opens a portal. Everything goes to fucking awesome. And you're like, my God, you know, this is great. Who knows? But I will say this. You won't know unless you try. Thank you, Amy. Yeah. This is awesome.
Yeah, it's so awesome. I love hearing about it so much. And I just have this really strong feeling that there are people listening who are like, this is for me. I'm in. I've been waiting for something like this. Like, you know, they're not really feeling like the typical spiritual retreat, the breathwork retreat. That's not really necessarily their vibe, but they really want to go and like meet people and just have a good time. So I'm like,
yeah, we're not going to dunk you in
powerfully.
Cold water. We're not going to dunk you in cold water. You can go down to the creek if you want, but it's not mandatory.
You don't have to have an ice bath.
No, there's people who will know breathwork techniques if you'd like to take them up on it. I mean, all of that stuff, guys. And there's amazing elements to this. And same thing, you'll have authors there that just, you know, want to sign a book for you and hand it to you. You don't have to buy it. Just they want to hand it to you, a signed copy. You meet them and then go. It's such a cool environment. And I'm really looking forward to this. And I just can't thank you again. I can't wait for you and I to be talking about the one that we're doing together very, very soon.
I know. I need a Brandon hug.
Oh, you getting it? I'm telling you, wear the shirt if you don't want it, but you get a big fat fucking hug off the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good times. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing this amazing retreat. Thank you for all the work that you are doing to put into this retreat. It is not lost on me how many hours of work it is. And I can tell that it's like fun and it's a privilege and like you're feeling it, and it's also like your time and the time of the other people who are contributing too. So thank you for just going first and putting forward the energetic time and financial resources to make this happen and invite everybody in.
Thank you so much. Shout out to my events partner, Kristen Bolt. Without her, none of this would be happening. I could not be more grateful to her. She'll have to talk to you because she has some fascinating experiences. But yes, and thank you.
Thank you so much.
Shout out, Kristen. Thank you. But thank you, Amy. This has been amazing. Yeah. Thank you all out there. And that's kind of the point of this. We're not doing a huge media blitz, a bunch of paid advertising. We're not. It's very aligned audiences. And if you're aligned and this resonates with you, you're who I want out there. And not somebody that clicked on a Facebook ad that, you know, that's important too. But we're not... That's not the vibe, right? So if you're hearing this, this message is for you. And if it resonates, come see me.
Basically, the vibe is it's a soul tribe invite. And yeah. If you are listening to this and it resonates, that means that you're soul tribe.
Yep. Call out. Come on.
Love it. Yay. Love it. Okay, my beautiful friends, go check out, like, all the links are in the show notes. Brandon is amazing for providing all the links. So they're all going to be there. And then Brandon, if you feel like it, you can post in Soul Space too. And just like give people easy access to the information. But yeah, definitely go check it out. Go look if you were not watching it on YouTube. That's okay. I sometimes don't do that as well. But go check out the beautiful location, the planned itinerary, all the details. And if you're feeling this, then go for it, my friends. You will not regret it. It's going to fucking change your life. You're going to meet people that, like, your whole everything has been to meet these people. So I love you. Thank you for spending this time with us. As always, thank you for the powerful currency of your attention. I hope you have a beautiful day or night wherever you are, my friends. And I will catch you on the next episode.
Well, that's a wrap. I truly hope that you enjoyed the episode and that you got some good activations, insights, and inspiration from what was shared today. I want to give a shout out to May, who edits all of these podcast episodes. And I want to thank you, beautiful listener, for the valuable currency of your time and attention. You are a powerful creator, and may everything in this podcast serve you in your highest fucking creations. Your listenership means the world to me, truly. I cannot possibly express my appreciation enough for you and your being here with me on this journey. If you enjoyed the episode, please take a moment to rate, review, subscribe, and share. And have a beautiful day or night wherever you are. I will catch you on the next episode.